God's been building us up to? This is too cool. How much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much? Okay, now, the manager thought of himself. Now what? I'm through here. I don't have the strength to go out and dig ditches. I'm too proud to beg. I know just the thing, and then I'll have plenty of friends to take care of me when I leave. I'll have plenty of friends to take care of me. But remember when I told some of you, you've befriended these things? If you have a spirit of gluttony, you befriended food. The spirit behind food. Oh, this will make me feel better. If you felt abandoned and rejected, maybe never had a man give you any kind of feeling that you have value when they're supposed to make their daughters feel pretty. You took on sexual junk. Well, if I just sleep with the guy, he'll love me. If I just do this. Do you see? Do you see? Man, isn't this cool? Satan gets thrown out, and he immediately begins to use those who are in debt to God to try to have a place for himself. And where we all have to repent when we're going to bring this house down is to see, I should never negotiate it with him. What made me think that dope would really help? What made me think that pretending this didn't happen was the answer? What made me think that if I would just not forgive? You know, what made me think these things? One thing you see here, find out where you negotiate it with him. Every place you negotiate it with him was a work of the enemy. Every place you negotiate it with him is a place to have the Holy Spirit undo in your life through renouncing, hating, and breaking the power of. All right, he goes on. To another he said, and you, sir, how much do you owe? He says, 100 measures of wheat. Well, wheat means bread, means life again. Basically, these are parables to show you we owe God everything. We owe him everything. He said, the steward said, now take your bill and write 80. Let's compromise a little bit. I can get you off. You don't have to give in everything. So we see here, we see a devil who's been thrown out of heaven, negotiating with those who really owe a debt to the Lord. Now the problem is with these bonds, when you negotiate with the devil comes in and he owns you. And so the reason you can get saved and Satan still have this territory in your life is you haven't repented for giving him that territory. You haven't repented for giving him that permission to the place where you can say, I should have never negotiated with you. Even if Christ hadn't come, we should have never negotiated with the enemy. That's why the law was so important to the Jews, because it helped them not negotiate with the enemy. It helped them keep from making alliances with the devil. And that's how God has set it up until they find Christ, which once and for all sets the captives free, to keep themselves from the enemy just doing anything he wants in your life. And once you start this negotiating, he just brings more and more in. I mean, if you open the door through, smoking, next thing you do drugs. Once you open the door through drugs, bigger demons come in. Next thing you've got to steal. Next thing you've got to lie. Next thing you've got to manipulate. And boom, 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 he's building his house in you. You now are just on a path to total destruction, total darkness. Pretty soon you're going to have to murder because you go to hold up that grocery store. You just want the money, but the clerk gets in the way. And now, boom, you kill him, not thinking about it. Now you murdered. You never thought that morning, more likely you were going to murder someone. Same with sexual sin. You open the door here. Oh, if you don't feel loved, then, you know, you just, do what feels good. Next thing you know, you're watching, you got some perversion because whatever Satan has done. And you can't even look at grown women because you've been so hurt by a mother. So now what do? You focus on little girls. Next thing you know, you're going on the internet. Think how many doors and how many buildings and how many walls are going up right now in our society with the internet, with pornography in the home. At least before there was some shame. At least before there was something to stop you. Folks, there's nothing. I bet it's so beyond anything we can imagine. I bet it's so beyond without Christ, without being able to get rid of the stuff that's been built in us, without just making a blatant decision to say no and run from sin. I guarantee you that people you sit by every day at work, people you talk to and sit by at church are totally getting this demon fed on the internet and pornography. I bet it's so horrible. And they're not planning on. They didn't start out planning to steal little girls and rape them or some little boy and leave him lying somewhere. No. All of a sudden, they're being possessed. They're feeding this thing and they don't know how to get by. And that's why Christ said, I had to come and I had to die and I had to pay the price to stop it, to set him free. But then they have to still renounce. They have to hate what God hates. They've got to see the wickedness in their hearts. They've got to see what was built there. They have to demolish it by the power of the Holy Ghost. They have to disarm the strong man and get him out. And what we're doing so many times is hiding him and dressing him up and having secret sin. That's why the Bible's so clear in the last days. God's going to uncover every hidden thing. That's why the church needs to get real. That's why you need to be able to come to meetings, roll up to an altar call for whatever it is, and not care who knows or says what. Because the Bible says if they judge you, they got it. And just say, set me free. The world, our society, is in terrible shape. The church is in terrible shape. And we're just going around acting all spiritual, getting religious spirits to the maximum. Because we're not really dealing with the issues of what has Satan built. All right, this is good, isn't it? The master praised the dishonest steward for his astuteness. What this means is the Lord went, whoa, man, you're using that gifts I gave you. You're going to really go after these people. Look what you did to Adam and Eve. That's where it first started. And God was like, God's sitting there going, but I've got something greater. Yep, you're negotiating with them. You're setting them up. You think you're going to go live in their house. And some of them you're going to take to hell with you. But I'm going to tell you what. My kingdom will come. I will have a people for myself. I will have a spotless bride. I will have those who will defeat you completely, Satan. And so you might look like you've got something going here. But you don't underestimate. See, when you don't live a holy, righteous life full of the power of God, you're playing part of this game. And you're letting Satan get in God's face and nanny nanny boo boo. Every time a Christian, anytime anyone sins, it's a pain in the heart of God. But anytime a Christian sins and sins and sins, it's just like this steward that we're reading about here going, ha, 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 they like this sin. They get this sin. And God is raising up a holy, holy people. I think God is going to move through the youth that are so demonized and they're going to be so sick of it. I think that where he says he is going to pour out that last move. He's going to pour out his spirit and they're all going to move into the supernatural. But they're waiting to see something real. They're waiting for love, not judgment. They're waiting for someone to care about them, not convict them. They're waiting for Christians to be able to open their homes. Do you know what really gets to me? Everybody wants mystery. Everybody wants mystery. We get kids that if we could somehow set up a place to place them somewhere so that their parents aren't beating the tar out of them, not letting them come to meetings, their parents would sign over custody in 5 seconds to get rid of them. But gosh, we're just playing church. We're just playing church. Show up, sit down, take money, smile, go do some goofy little thing for Christians who should be out doing the things of God. And most of it adds up to nothing. Not everywhere. I'm not totally against everything. And God's got his hand in a lot. But not when you look at the amount of money and the amount of buildings and the amount of people calling themselves the church. And you look at the amount of hurt and lost world and nothing happening. Lord, get a hold of all of our hearts. Get rid of everything. Let us really surrender. And I'm talking to me too. I'm talking to everybody. When will we get there? When will we get there? God, I want to get there. So he says, the Lord says, for the children of this world are more wise in dealing with their own kind than are the children of light. He's saying, you know, Satan's kids, they know how to do their junk. They know how to take a Christian and get them into complete darkness. They know how to sneak their music and their drugs right into your youth programs and snag everybody. They know, man, you're the children of darkness know how to come into a church and bring false doctrine. The devil knows if he's got a pastor in sexual sin, let's start preaching a gospel that says you'll go to heaven no matter what. Let's knock anybody who preaches the true gospel. Let's make them look like Jezebel. Let's look them make like a lone ranger. Let's make them like terrible, you know, so they can stay here in bondage and be as miserable as we are. You preach like you're angry. I'm not angry. This is me. When God lets loose at the church after he's finally raised up a prophetic voice to preach truth, watch out. Be like Jeremiah and cry, Lord, spare him. Have mercy, Lord. Let your spirit move. But you know what? Till we give a witness of something real for them to even see and want, don't throw any stones. He goes on. So I tell you, money, the devil's way, use money. What does it say in Greek? Mindset. This one, I like this better. And I say to you, to yourselves, do not make friends. Do not make friends with mammon of the unrighteous. In other words, the Lord's saying here, I tell you, don't make friends with the enemy. Don't make friends with his system. Don't make friends with his compromises. Don't make friends with mammon. That word does not mean money. If you look it up, it means assets and wealth. But there's other words for assets and wealth. He says it really represents the devil's system to human beings. It's the devil's compromises. It's the devil's way of doing things. That's what it really means. They didn't. How would you say that? They knew what it meant. They knew it was a spirit. It says, and thus make sure that when it fails you, listen to this, when Satan fails you with his coping mechanisms, with his money, with his idea of success, with his sexual sin, with his drugs, with his alcohol, with his pornography, when it finally fails you, because it will, then their demons, they will welcome you into their internal dwellings. Satan's going to fail you with his junk, he's going to sock it to you, and then he's taking you to hell with him. You let him in your house now. You buy his compromises. You become what he wants you to be. And his desire is to destroy you with it. And then have you so low and so messed up that you're going to go to hell with him. That's his plan. That is Lucifer's plan right there. Phew. Then the Lord goes on to say, anyone who is faithful or trustworthy, mine says, anyone who is trustworthy in little things is trustworthy in great. Anyone who is dishonest in little things is dishonest in great. If then you are not trustworthy with money, the tainted thing, who will trust you with genuine riches? The Lord's saying, it's what's in your heart. If you think you can negotiate and play games and live for the devil and compromise, God can never give you his kingdom. He can never trust you with his true power. He cannot trust you with his authority. He cannot trust you. If he can't trust you with the things of this world, this was it. If he can't trust you with earthly things that disappear and go away, why are you asking him for power? Why are you asking him for anointing? Why are you asking him for the gifts of the Spirit? Why are you asking him for the Holy Ghost? You've got to choose. You've got to choose who you're going to serve. It says, and if you're not trustworthy with what is not yours, who will give you what is your very own? When you are born again, the Bible says that your inheritance is to be an heir with Christ. You're to have everything that God has. Wow. That belongs to you. But there's other scriptures, I won't get into them, that talk about what good did they do you if you remained a slave or a child? What good does having the inheritance of the promise do you if you're just going to use them for junk? I will say this, and I know we probably can't put this on certain radio stations unless God slips it through, which happens. But much of what we hear in the prosperity teaching is an abomination to the true gospel. Santa Claus, Santa Claus, give me, give me, give me. If I jump through the hoops, say things right, give my money at just the right time to just the people, then you have to make me wealthy so that I can have big fancy cars and walk around and put on some bumper sticker that says I'm a king's kid. Folks, those people that Heidi Baker is ministering to who do not have a chance of having a Cadillac but have God living in them are king's kids. Those people that I minister to in Russia, or they ministered to me because they have so much more of God than we do. It's not funny. who have no shoes but wear slippers or socks in the snow have so much glory on them that they are the king's kids. I want to look like my father. It's not about looking. What father do you want to look like? Because where your treasure is where your heart is. So get real about it. Greed was the strong man that killed my daughter. So don't, and I've had people come and flower like trying to buy you, and they do it real subtly, and oh, we've got this and we've got that, and we give to ministries for this and we give to ministries. I'm like, God had me go to one person one time who wrote us a $2,000 check, and we don't get very many $2,000 checks yet, and praise God when we get them. If we don't, if you want to give one, you won't hurt my feelings, but I'm going to tell you, most of you are like, if I had $2,000 in my account to even give you, cool. But the bottom line is this. The Lord had me walk up to that person and say, you know, God loves you, and we love you without you giving a single penny. So that is when we take any more money from you. You remember, I was like, oh God, it's the first one you ever said who had $2,000. You're not going to buy a prophetic word if it's real. Let me tell you what, you're not going to buy the anointing. I am sick of the stuff being taught. I'm sorry, I'm sick of it. If you give to this ministry, you'll have the same anointing. It flows down from the head over the body as if I'm your head. There's not a minister out there who's your head. Christ is the head. It does flow from the head through the body. But Bunko, you're not the head. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm tired of it. You are selling the anointing. You don't even get that there's still greed that hasn't been pulled out of your heart. Your heart. My kid, I don't want any part of it. I can see it. I'm not judging you. I'd have been worse than you.